WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
Gonna be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to
you. Own your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's gonna go home?
All you seniors. Will you let
this
be taken away from you?
Don't
you know it? No way.
You must go seize the
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis! Touchdown, Ben Davis! The Giants win!
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
Good evening and welcome into this week three edition of Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by a Bear. Realtor, I'm your host Jackson White. Joining me is WBDG General Manager John Easter, Football Insider Jeff Robinson, and of course Head Coach for your Ben Davis Giants, Jason Simmons. Last week the Giants had a massive win, 59-35 versus Avon at home. So Coach, you guys had a big win this past Friday night. Take us through all what happened.
Well, I think when you go back to last Friday, really it started, you know, in the week of preparation for us. I felt like we had a good week of practice despite all of the different weather-based distractions. You know, we went out two different days. One day we couldn't wear anything other than our practice jerseys. Another day we were helmets only. But I think what you saw was our senior leadership just kind of carry us through the week and in our preparation. And that showed up on Friday. You know, when you look at how we played, we executed early in special teams off that, off the sky kick that they struggled to field. We were able to recover that. Got into a little rhythm offensively, you know, clicked off a couple of plays, scored, you know, there pretty quickly in the first minute and a half of the game. And we gave up a kickoff return, and, you know, that was just simply execution. We had two guys running the same lane. We had a coverage guy get a hand on the returner, just didn't break down, and a fold guy, you know, just not shoot a shot. So we give that back. Then we were able to go, you know, click off a couple of big plays offensively. I mean, it was really a little bit of a roller coaster back and forth first quarter. Tied at 21 in the first quarter, and we felt really good about some of the things we did offensively in the first quarter. Made some plays on special teams, converted a two-point conversion. You know, we stole the opening kickoff. Defensively, we really bottled up the run game and took that away. We just gave up chunk plays in the secondary. And then really in the second quarter, you know, was where we were able to kind of put some air between us. But when you score defensively and you score on special teams, you're going to give yourself a chance to widen that margin. And, you know, I think what you saw was you saw a team that was hungry. You saw a team that was ready to play. And you saw how explosive we could be, you know, being able to score in all three phases of the game and make multiple plays in all three phases of the game.
Coach, I know in the first game you did a lot of switching back and forth on your quarterback position. Looked like you focused a little bit more on your passing game with Juwan Swanson. Talk a little bit about that usage at the quarterback position and that change, really focusing more on your passing game.
Well, for us, it was more about just taking what the defense gave us. You know, we went into the game saying we're just going to take what they give us, and we felt like early they were giving us an opportunity to put the ball on the perimeter in space, and so we took advantage of it. And I think what you saw was you saw a bunch of guys that were hungry to go make plays out there, and you know, we had three different guys go for over 100 yards receiving. Juwan played in a very confident manner. He got the ball to the open guy when it was supposed to be there. And when our guys got the ball in their hands in space, you know, they did something with it. And so, you know, it's hard to turn a blind eye to it. And I think what you saw when we started making plays on the perimeter, got the ball outside the hash in space and got the thing rolling a little bit, it allowed our run game to open up. You know, we got Devin Wiley going a little bit with a couple different touches. You know, we used him at quarterback and, you know, kind of a wild giant type situation. got Destin Beecham going as well. And, you know, that was one thing we didn't do in week one. We didn't take what they gave us, to be honest with you. And, you know, for that, it was, you know, it was a situation where we kind of created our own issues a little bit. And so we had to get those fixed. And really, I think just putting ourselves in a position to play one guy at quarterback, and it allowed us to kind of get into a rhythm and get into a flow. And you know, I think Juwan showed what he was capable of. You know, he was 22 for 27 for 400 yards, and you know, that's the type of player that he can be when he's completely locked in.
Yeah, it was a school record for Juwan Swanson, breaking Kyle Kastner's record. From 377 yards, I think 423, something like that was the final number for Juwan. So congratulations to him. A great game for him. But, Coach, you talk about Avon, a program that, you know, they've been one of the tops in Class 6A, just haven't quite maybe made it over the hump quite yet. I know they were close a couple of years ago against Center Grove, in a real good situation in the semi-state, but a program that's kind of recently owned the Giants. So how nice was it for you to get a victory over another West Side program like Avon?
Yeah, I think for us it was, you know, it was a win that we felt like we needed. It wasn't just for our football team, but it was for our school and our community. And, you know, we've started the last 3 years 0-2, or the last 2 years 0-2, wasn't something that we were interested in, to be honest with you. And we felt like our level of preparation had to get better from the week before. And we had to do a better job just executing and playing Ben Davis football. More importantly, we had to do a better job coaching to the standard of Ben Davis football. And that started with me. We worked to get that fixed last week in practice, and it paid off for us on Friday. It was a good win for our football team, for sure.
So, Coach, you guys had over 500 yards in total offense. What did you guys see in film the week before and really exploited versus this Avon team?
Well, and we felt like if we pressured their secondary a little bit and just made them uncomfortable, we might be able to pop a couple, to be honest with you. They're pretty young defensively. They had a couple of guys back from a year ago that, you know, some of their best players defensively were also playing both ways. And so we felt like we had to try and pick the pace up a little bit offensively, try and pressure them and see if we could get them out of position, see if we could get their eyes in the wrong spot. You know, we hit a couple double moves early, and really it was just predicated on how we felt looking at them on the field and where we felt like their eyes were. We felt like if we could get their eyes in the wrong spot, then we might be able to get behind them. And if we converted on those shots, then we would have a chance to get chunk plays. And, you know, I think what you saw was I keep going back to our wide receivers, whether it was Dylan Moore, you know, whether it was Dylan, Marcus Reese, Donnell Mason, Brady Simmons, Lincoln Murph. I mean, those guys competed on the perimeter. They played hard for each other out there. You know, when you throw the ball out there as much as we did, if you're going to get chunk plays, those guys got to own it and go block for each other too. And our guys did that on the perimeter.
Coach, Avon had one weapon that you really had a problem stopping the other night, and that was Krishan McCray, the Kent State commit for Avon. Talk about the problems that he caused for you on the defensive side.
Well, he caused a lot of them. You know, when you face a team and you play a team like Avon, who you know has, you know, it's a really good coaching staff, it's a really good passing game. And if you were to tell me going into the game we would give up catches to one guy, I would tell you I'd feel really good about it. But when you give up 7 for 315, it certainly leaves a lot to be desired. And, you know, a lot of that is, you know, there were three of those catches where he was better than us at the catch point. They're 50-50 balls that we got to do a better job being more competitive going up and getting. There were a couple – there was one matchup issue where we aligned wrong. And there was a slant route that they hit over the middle that – We took two bad angles on, and then we got lost in pursuit. So, you know, you start to break some of those things down, and, you know, you're in a position on a couple balls, got to go make a play. You know, we don't communicate pre-snap, so it leads to a coverage breakdown. Take the wrong angle leads to a coverage breakdown. Like, those are things that can get you beat if you're not careful. And so we certainly have a lot of – just like we did coming out of week one, had a lot of room to grow offensively, had some things that we had to get cleaned up and tightened up offensively. You know, we're coming out of week two saying the same thing, which is good because, you know, as soon as you start patting yourself on the back with our schedule, you're going to leave on Friday night pretty disappointed. And so, you know, it was really easy for us to have our guys' attention this week coming into our work week preparation.
Did your preparations change? I know last year McCray primarily was used as a running back. This year Avon's tried to put him in the slot and out on the outside a little bit more. Did that impact in terms of your game planning defensively?
Not really. We really anticipated him being on the perimeter. You know, we knew they had some had a couple different guys lined up to go play tailback for him. Felt like they could best utilize the combination of their quarterback and him if he was on the perimeter. And that's honestly what we prepared for. We just didn't go execute what we had in preparation during the week.
Coach, with your special teams, they had a really good game against Avon. So talk about the third phase. It's often forgotten, that special teams group that had such a great game on Friday night.
Yeah, I think when you take the kickoff return out of it, I think when you turn the film on, we saw our kickoff return team or our kickoff team get better when you take out the one that they had for a touchdown. We showed some kick versatility. We showed to be pretty non-predictable in that phase. Our kickoff return team competed a little bit, you know, got us field position a couple of different times that was favorable. Still got room to grow there just in terms of angles and finishing plays. Alvin Contreras has done a great job with our punt team just in terms of ball placement and being consistent back there. Our punt return team got a touchdown. So, you know, I think anytime you can get one of those, it speaks to their effort. Donnell Mason did a great job on that return. And we had some guys that actually pulled up and played smart football. And that, you know, I think that shows some growth and maturity. Then our PAT field goal team did a nice job. You know, we ran some two-point stuff, some two-point situational pieces, had success with it a little bit, failed on one. But then you look at a young man like Ben Rudolph who, emailed me in July, said he wanted to come out and start kicking. And, you know, he's a relentless worker. He's a two-sport fall athlete. And so it was really good to get that field goal at the end of the game for him. But he's done a phenomenal job for us in the kicking game, you know, since he's come aboard in July.
So, Coach, most of the show has been about the offense, but really a standout point of this team last game was the defense with a Keoki Toomer pick six and Dylan Moore interception as well, and lots of guys getting to the quarterback. It seemed like this defense had a different swagger to it in week two. So what did you see from this defense last week versus Avon?
I saw exactly what you just talked about. You know, when you talk about Keoki Toomer, you're talking about a guy who for 3 years now has been so steady and so consistent that his play is often overlooked. But he does a phenomenal job controlling the box. You look at what the impact that Dylan Moore can have on a game on the perimeter with his length, with his instincts, with his closing speed. You saw some of that. And then, you know, you look at some of the guys that were rotating up front. Myron Green, you know, has had a really good start to the season. Larry Hart's getting better every snap, it seems like, but he's certainly getting better by every quarter that he plays. Cameron Davenport's a guy that's playing both ways, giving us good snaps on the defensive line. Mati Sidibe's playing both ways, giving us good snaps on the defensive line. So we're starting to find some depth and build some depth that we can rely on, play in and play out up there. And so we feel good about our box play. You know, we got to get our perimeter guys locked back in. We got to put them in favorable spots to maximize their skill sets and their traits. But yeah, I think defensively for us, it begins and ends with Keoki and Dylan. You know, those two anchors for us defensively, and you factor Myron into that equation. And we're certainly playing with some confidence and playing fast on that side of the ball.
You meant, just to follow up on Dylan Moore, how much of an impact did it even have on that first week in terms of value to your team overall whenever he was out hurt for so long against Brownsburg?
Well, I think what you saw when he wasn't in the game defensively is we weren't communicating nearly as well. You know, in terms of our alignment, our initial movement and our assignment, football wasn't as good with him not in there. And I think it speaks to two things. You know, when a guy like Dylan is taken out of your lineup, you move a guy there in Sorrell Curtis, who's really good at the position that we have him playing. And so now you have two guys that aren't your best guys in those two spots, you know. And I think from the back end, when you look at other guys that are having great years for us, you know, at least, you know, to start here out of the gate, I think Elijah Marks is a guy that needs to be acknowledged too. I mean, he's leading our football team in tackles through two games. He's a physical presence. that gets downhill. We got to get him communicating and really being that traffic control cop from the back end of it, filtering communication downward. And once we can get that from him, then I think we're gonna see some growth on the back end of our defense as well.
And that will wrap up this first segment of Inside Ben Davis Football. Next up, we're going to talk about the Giants taking on Pike this Friday night. This is Inside Ben Davis Football presented by Bear Realtor.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
145 over 92, and then I had a heart attack.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Pass it on.
Here's a short quiz. Who won Best Actress last year? Who won the World Series 2 years ago? And finally, name your favorite teacher.
Pass it on.
Now, I'm guessing that the last question was the easiest. Why is that? Because that person made a difference in your life. So, go ahead and make a difference. Because making a difference is in you.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor.
Welcome back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor. I'm Jackson White, and joining me is WBDG General Manager John Easter, High School Football Insider Jeff Robinson, and of course the Ben Davis Football Head Coach, Jason Simmons. So moving on to this week's game against Pike, I would assume you've seen Pike's loss, at least in film, versus Fishers. What are your takeaways from that game?
Well, you know, we traded the first two games of the year, and when you look at them, You can turn the film on and you can get consumed in the score, or you can say, I mean, there's a lot of talent on that field. You know, when you look at who they have lined up at quarterback, and the things that they do offensively, they're going to present some problem for us. You know, Abdur Rahim, the quarterback, is a guy who he can take a bad snap and make it the most exciting football play of the game. You know, and so he's a guy that you have to really work to make sure that you corral, as opposed to trying to corral and capture, as opposed to try and kill in space. You know, you try and haul off and throw a haymaker at him, you're going to end up on his highlight tape. You know, he can make some people miss in the open space and do some things with the football in his hand. They have some speed on the outside. They have some burst on the outside with, you know, a handful of different guys. They like to use motion. They like to use the option game. We've seen several different tailbacks line up for them. So they've played a couple of different guys. 22, Jeremiah Berry's one. They've played 9. They've played 37. So a little bit of a tailback by committee right now, I think. So we really don't know who to expect back there. They're an offensive group that when you watch them, you can see the pieces and parts. You just don't want this week to be the week that they figure it out. You know, they've struggled to score a little bit here in the openers. Some of it's a byproduct of their own doing. Some of it's a byproduct of the defenses they've seen. But for us, we have to make sure we're assignment sound. We got to make sure we're disciplined on the back end with the vertical routes, with the exchange concepts that we could see, with the screen game that we could see. And we got to make sure we take care of the quarterback piece. You know, the quarterback is the guy that makes their offense go, whether it's the triple option game, whether it's in the passing game. We got to make sure we take care of him and account for him first to give us a chance here defensively to have a good showing. And then when you look offensively, you know, and you start to watch them and break them down, they're long, they're athletic. Their secondary, I think, is a strength of their defense when you look at them. The Joseph Jefferson's a safety on the back end that's a multi-year starter for him that's all over the place. Tony Ledford's a corner for him that they like to play to the field, big, long, rangy corner. He's got good football instincts. They have 5 guys back there from a secondary standpoint that really kind of work together and that do a good job on the back end. And so we're going to have our hands full getting separation, getting guys open. Josh Woods at the Mike linebacker spot's another guy who's all over the field and makes plays for them. And their defensive line has a good takeoff, and they're aggressive. So it's a long, active group for sure. And it's a group that we got to continue to dig on here in our preparation this week.
As you prepare, though, one thing you can't necessarily factor in are some of the intangibles from the rivalry standpoint of Ben Davis versus Pike. Pike's had some disappointing years of late, but seems to always be playing Ben Davis pretty tough, despite some disappointing seasons.
Yeah, you know, we've talked to our guys about that through the first couple of days of preparation this week. You know, that very point, you know, when you look right now, it's easy to say, okay, they're coming into this game 0-2, they're down. Well, you know, for the last two seasons, we've gone into this game 0-2, and we've come out of it in that left-hand column, in that win column. So you, when these two teams meet, regardless, you can throw the records out of the water. And I learned that, you know, back in 2006 when I came here for the first time. We played them in 2007, and we thought, man, it's just Pike. Well, they beat us here in the sectional that year. Well, you know, from that point on, you know, it's been a real interesting rivalry, I think, anytime these two schools get together. And so, you know, you can throw records out the window for sure in this game, especially early in the season. You know, when you play a bunch of different guys early, you're trying to get a feel for who's who and where they, you know, the guy you think you had in the summer may not be the guy that you truly have when the live game snaps start coming. So, yeah, I think both teams use the non-conference games to kind of feel things out, see where they feel like their strengths are. And, you know, here we go. You know, we get to load up and start the mix season with the closest school to us in the mix and in a West Side rival in Pike.
Yeah, the rivalry, as Jeff alluded to, is the fifth most common played opponent for Ben Davis, which is tied with Carmel for a couple of weeks anyway, at 47. So some people might find that surprising because for many, many, many years, these two teams didn't play in the regular season. It was just mostly a sectional opponent for the Giants. Many, many years they didn't play in the regular season, really, until Pike came back in 2012, I believe, into the mix, 2013, somewhere in there. And right away, the Giants played a classic with Pike down at Lucas Oil Stadium, a game that went to overtime. Ben Davis won it in overtime, playing a backup quarterback because Kyle Kastner was out, injured. You know, the Giants really had the better of Pike in the series. It's 35-12 with those 47 meetings that we talked about, and the Giants have won the last six in the series. But like you said, Coach, I think you alluded to this as well. There have been a lot of times when either one side or the other, the team that is perceived to be the worst team comes out with a win in this series. So, you know, not saying anything bad about this year's version of Pike, what are some of the other great Pike Ben Davis games that you could remember in your time here? Obviously, last year was big because it was the 500th victory in the history of Ben Davis football. So there are lots of those sprinkled into this rivalry as well.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, that would be the first one. When you go back to the 500th win in this program, and you look, that was our first win coming out of COVID. There was just a different vibe about that football team that night. And I remember sitting outside the locker room waiting for what felt like forever for pregame to get going and for us to take the field. And, you know, our kids had a completely different vibe, and it was, you know, it was that vibe that for the first time thought, okay, we got our guys back. You know, now we just got to keep digging on them, keep getting them better and growing them. The game that stands out to me probably is 2008. You know, we had a heck of a tournament run in 2008 that year, and you know, we were fortunate enough to get a sectional win there in a hard fought game, especially coming off the 2007 loss. You know, there's a game that Coach Ferris still talks about to this day when we had to go back on Saturday morning.
That was crazy.
Less than a minute to go, and you know, you have all night to think of, you know, what one play that can seal your fate.
That game was unreal, Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, you and so like when you talk about like moments, you know, there were 2011, 2012. You remember we lost some heartbreaking sectional games, had daggone good football teams, and went up there and lost heartbreaking sectional games. And so, you know, this rivalry never fails. And, you know, I think it's a credit to what, you know, Coach Derek Moyers did and Coach Echevarria was a part of that staff when they brought really, you know, Pike football back in the mid to late, you know, 2000s, that first decade of the 2000s. So, you know, he certainly knows what could be at Pike, and you know, he's a good football coach. They have a good football staff, and so we just got to continue to make sure our preparation puts us in a position to be successful for sure.
Yeah, that game you were alluding to, there was a minute and 48 seconds left. I still remember it. I don't know if you were covering that game, Jeff, but
I was not, but I happened to catch like the ending on the radio of your broadcast.
That was the 2014 Pike Ben Davis game, and it was at Pike, Jackson. Minute and 48, thunderstorm comes in, rains like cats, dogs, aardvarks, any other animal that you can think of. It's just pouring down rain, lightning everywhere. You know, one of those that you have to run to the car because the lightning's so close, and it was like that. So, you know, rather than call, they could have called the game, really, if they would have wanted to, but they said, no, we'll come back and play the last 1:48 before the JV game. And before the, I guess it wouldn't have been JV. JV would have been here, but
it would have been the freshman.
Yeah, it would have been the freshman. So Pike has the ball, right? They had just intercepted Kyle Kastner before the maelstrom moved in. And so Pike has the ball. They go for it on fourth down. They don't make it. Kid drops the ball at the goal line, would have really stuck the knife in. So Ben Davis gets the ball back. The score ended up being 53-50, so whatever the derivative of that is, Ben Davis gets the ball back, marches all the way down and scores with about 15 seconds left. Chris Evans, Pike gave him some help. There were some penalties along the way. I think there was a pass interference penalty, maybe an unsportsmanlike penalty or a personal foul, something like that. But Ben Davis goes down, they score, and then Pike has the opportunity to do something in the last few seconds. And of course in that game you thought, oh boy, but ended up being 53-50 Ben Davis. That was one of the wildest games I've ever seen. One of the wildest finishes where you go from thinking, I mean, you're gonna lose, to, you know, being dejected after that interception and then the game just turning around. It's pretty wild.
And yeah, that gives you, that's why you never give up.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
It gives you that moment. That's why you just got to go play the next play. You just don't know what's going to happen.
Uh-huh. But, Coach, this last week you guys had 59 points on offense, and it really started in that first quarter. I believe you guys scored 28 in the first quarter. So against this Pike team that's had struggles sometimes in these past two games, how can you get that offense rolling early?
Well, I think it comes down to the same philosophy we had going into the Avon game. You know, the goal for us was to go put the ball in space, take what they give us, and just worry about getting first downs. If you just worry about getting first downs, and you know, Coach Ferris and I we've been coaching together or talking ball for a long time, and really we started that mindset 2007, 2008. You know, just go click off first downs and see what happens. Next thing you know, you put the ball in space, you break a tackle, and you're gone. And you know, that can happen with some of the players that we have. And so for us, we just got to take what they give us. We got to find a way to put the ball in space. We got to make sure we're schematically sound up front. And then we got to go have fun and play Ben Davis football. And if we do those things, we're going to give ourselves a chance on Friday.
The rest of the season is now conference games. How much of a factor in terms of preparing each week? Is it different from weeks one and two for your team and staff playing two local rivals versus playing your conference rivals?
It's really hasn't been a different focus, to be honest. You know, I think when you look at our schedule, it's always going to be in the top with our non-con games the way they are right now and the way the MIC is. You know, we're always going to have a top schedule, and we should here, to be honest with you. We're not going to run from anybody. And so, you know, for us, it's a matter of, really, as soon as we start that preseason, you know, we feel like we're into a high end 6A football from start to finish. And so for us, the preparation level can't change. The intensity and the attention to detail can't change for us.
Quick follow up here. Most impressive non conference team in the MIC thus far, Center Grove or Carmel, with the two out of state wins?
Well, I think though you can look at those two teams right now, and they're both 2-0. And they both have resumes that you know, say that they're deserving of being ranked 1 and 2 in the state of Indiana in 6A and being ranked in the Midwest. You know, you have two really good football teams that have gotten out of the gate really hot. You look, Carmel's two out-of-state wins are, you know, are great exclamation points for the state of Indiana and the MIC. And Center Grove, you know, has won their first two games in dominating fashion. So, yeah, I think you could flip a coin with either one of those two right now. But, you know, I think you have to lean towards the defending state champ.
And, yeah, this is we're going to ask one more question and then wrap this show up. Coach, big game this Friday, looking to go 2-1. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, you know, we want to continue. We had a great Purple Rain section on Friday. It was great to have, you know, no restrictions on who can come to the game. So the crowd was into it. You know, I think that helped our players for sure. And we're looking to do the same thing this Friday. We're going to represent for Ben Davis High School and Wayne Township community and do everything we can to come home 1-0 on the night.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to look at. So if you want to come to that game, make sure to be here around 6 o'clock because Ben Davis is taking on Pike at home. But that's going to wrap up this version of Week 3 of Inside Ben Davis Football. Thank you for Coach Simmons for joining us tonight. And don't forget to tune in at 6 as me and Owen Pulley, myself, Jackson White, will be calling the action as the Giants take on Pike at home. This has been Inside Ben Davis Football presented by Bear Realtor.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.